for the Packers to start the road part of their schedule. It doesn't get any bigger. It doesn't get any tougher. Packers at Falcons, Sunday Night Football, and for the second straight year in Week 2, the Packers take to the road to help open up a brand spanking shiny new stadium, this time Mercedes-Benz, somewhere near the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game, and a game we all hope goes somewhat, well, completely differently than the title game went. The defense has had about 8 months to hear about and think about what happened in that thrashing by Matt Ryan and the Falcons last January. Here's the Packers' chance to show that what we saw last week was just a glimpse at a completely different-looking unit, a faster, speedier, nastier unit. At least we saw that last week. We'll get a much better taste tonight, whether the defense is for real. Boy, let's go back quickly to last week's win over Seattle, a 17-9 affair that should have been scoreless at the half, but of course Seattle, courtesy of some, once again, a boneheaded decision by Mike McCarthy to use defensive timeouts at the end of the half to try to get the ball back. It backfired spectacularly as Seattle, content to run the clock out, takes it down the field, puts some points on the board, and takes a 3-0 lead, though the Packers had really dominated the line of scrimmage in the first half. My Twitter feed was on fire about all the calls that went against Seattle. I did not get a chance to re-watch the game. I was at the game. I'll take their word for it. Sounds like the interception by Rodgers probably should have been a pick six, and things did not go Seattle's way there. But bottom line was Green Bay dominated the line of scrimmage, dominated time of possession 2-1, and offensively took a while to get going against a terrific defense, probably the best they'll face. But they got it done when they had to. Again, were able to run out the clock late in a one-possession game, and the Packers get the victory over Seattle. Terrifically played by the defense. I was just so impressed with the defense. Exactly what we wanted to see. Mike Daniels, Nick Perry, felt like they were in Russell Wilson's jockstrap all afternoon. We saw the defense tackle well. We didn't see too many mistakes. There were a couple plays that could have gone against Green Bay. I remember one in particular where Devon House was beaten badly by Tyler Lockett, but Wilson had to rush the throw and couldn't connect. But overall, the defense was absolutely fantastic. You can talk about the offensive line not being great and Thomas Rawls being out and all that, but hey, Seattle's a Super Bowl contender, a favorite by many, and so that offense is expected to be very good, and they were not. Packers defense dominated them. Offensively, it took Ty Montgomery a little time to go, but he got more and more comfortable. I expect him to be a big-time performer tonight. And I thought special teams, particularly Justin Vogel, his first start as a punter, I thought he played very well and got some big kicks off. He'll be huge tonight, how he handles prime time, on the road, loud atmosphere, young player, game like this, field goal game. I'm going to worry about everything, and we'll see if Justin Vogel is up to the task. But all in all, a big victory, a terrific performance by the Pack in Week 1, and now they head down to Atlanta, where things will get exponentially more difficult. This is the third time these teams have met within the last year. Packers have won 3 of the last 4 regular season games. Of course, they lost both last year. First, that 33-32 nail-biter where Ryan scored in the final 30 seconds to give them the lead. Rodgers got the ball back with just that left and couldn't get anything going in the final 20-30 seconds. But a great first matchup. The Packers played well. Julio Jones was a bit banged up in that one. In the rematch, the Packers were the team out of gas. Devontae Adams had gotten injured against Dallas. Ty Montgomery was barely able to play. And the Packers were on fumes. Let's face it, they had quote-unquote run the table. After starting 4-6, they had reeled off 8 straight wins. The dramatic, almost historic win over Dallas, the way that thing ended. And they had nothing left. And Atlanta did. And they took advantage. Packers have had a long time to think about that. And we'll see if that gives them any kind of an edge as they head to Mercedes-Benz tonight. Game, of course, features 2 of the last 3 most valuable players. Ryan last year, Rodgers a few years ago. 2 of the best 3 or 4 or 5 quarterbacks in all of football take the field together tonight on Sunday Night Football. The big storyline, of course, coming into this one is the health of the Packers' tackles. There is no bigger story. There can't be. I've said it often. You know, Rodgers is and always will be the MVP of this team. If you ask me who's the second most valuable Packer, the second guy you could least afford to lose, it would be David Bakhtiari. And Bulaga would come up probably in the top five. Let's face it. If Rodgers has his protection, he can pretty much use anybody to be weapons, and exaggerating just a bit. But Bakhtiari's importance cannot be overstated. We saw the play. I don't know if you saw it. He kind of did the splits on a play last Sunday that tweaked his hamstring. He's been limited all week. He is questionable. Of the two tackles, I'd have to think Bakhtiari is more likely to play, but the Packers keep all this stuff so guarded, as they should, and so we really don't know the health of David Bakhtiari, except that he did not miss any practice. He's just been limited. Brian Bulaga, dealing with the ankle, of course, missed the opener. Thought Kyle Murphy, all in all, played pretty well, considering the challenge in front of him, Michael Bennett and company. I did give up a couple sacks in the first half, but I thought he got his footing in the second half, and if he's forced to go tonight, after dealing with Seattle, I won't feel terrible, but it would be really nice to get Bulaga back. He also had these flu-like symptoms, kept him, it sounds like, mostly in the bathroom for much of the week. Was back Friday. They were going to watch him Friday and see how he felt yesterday. We may not know until, you know, 90 minutes before kickoff whether the two tackles play. We're going to go under the assumption that Bakhtiari is in tonight and Bulaga probably not. That's the way I'm leaning. But that's the key storyline for the Pack. Health, always something you look at first when teams are meeting, whether it's week 2 or week 15. Look, it could be worse. You know, the Vikings are dealing with Sam Bradford as a game-time decision. They activated a practice squad quarterback to be safe. So as long as number 12 is healthy, everything else, you know, you just got to deal with. So we'll watch the injuries with the tackles and see how that goes. And if those guys are able to play tonight, I think it certainly makes things a whole lot more interesting. Against an Atlanta team, well, they're dealing with the old Super Bowl hangover curse. The NFC team that loses the Super Bowl rarely gets back to the playoffs, and certainly rarely even more gets as far as the championship game. Falcons are dealing with two new coordinators this year. Kyle Shanahan moved down to San Francisco. They cut their defensive coordinator, elevated former Packer Marquand Manuel. I think it showed in the first game. They were lethargic. They didn't really have their act together. They were very fortunate to get past the Chicago Bears, who were knocking on the door of the goal line at the end of the game with several chances to get that ball in the end zone and post a huge upset. But Atlanta escaped 23-17. Some storylines. The running game was unable to get going. We all know how dangerous that two-headed attack is, Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman. They were held in check by an improved but still not great Bears defense. Julio Jones just targeted 5 times. He'll be looking for a lot more after what happened in the championship game last year. 9 catches, 180 yards. So I think it might take a little time for the Falcons' offense and defense to get in groove with new leaders, and that might serve the Packers well that they're playing them this early. Talk much more about the key matchups and the players to watch and all that stuff as we move along. I have to also address the roster moves that the Packers made this week. It's rare that you see two guys cut that, you know, aren't rookies. And the Packers did cut Ricky Jean-Francois, the defensive lineman, the free agent that they brought in. I think they felt like adding Quentin Dial from the 49ers was a better fit for this scheme and will give them he'll give them a lot more snaps and understands the scheme, can move him around, he can play all different positions. That and the closer-to-health rookie Montrevious Adams allowed Francois to be cut loose. And then LaDarius Gunter cut as well. Of course, the last time these two teams met, Gunter matched up against Julio Jones. He was the Packers' number one corner in the NFC title game. His lack of speed just dooms him in the NFL. I think, you know, if the Packers didn't like some of their younger guys in the slot, like Rollins, and certainly Hawkins and Pipkins, young guys they really like in special teams too. So Gunter out, and he was quickly snapped up by the Panthers, and we hope he keeps his career going. Sounds like a really good kid, but I think it shows where the secondary has come from now and where they are, that they can cut loose a kid that they counted on to play almost every snap last season. Taking the place of Francois Gunter, wide receiver Geronimo Allison returns from suspension. He'll step into the number 4 receiver spot, and the Packers activated tackle Adam Pankey from the practice squad as protection. If you know, it's one thing if Bakhtiari and or Bulaga can start. Can they finish? And if they can't, Packers need tackle depth. Jason Spriggs lost indefinitely to a hamstring injury. I'm putting lost in quotes because it sounds like the dude doesn't belong on the field just yet, hasn't figured it out. But Pankey is active now just in case they need him, and let's hope they don't. Brand new stadium, going to be crazy tonight as Atlanta fans get to see their new toy. And Clay Matthews and company know it's going to be quite a scene in Atlanta tonight.
Take anything away from last year's week two game against Minnesota, in which we opened up. You know it's going to be electric down there. Fans are going to show up, celebrate the opening of the new stadium. And on top of that, that's a team meant for turf. So, they'll be playing fast. They'll be ready to go. And, we hope to kind of weather that storm early and, persevere in the end. But it'll be a tough environment. But, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think if you look at the schedule when it came out, this looked like the toughest game on the schedule. You know, we got to go to Pittsburgh. That's not going to be easy. Coming up here is never easy either. But this one, that whole opening a new stadium thing is tough. Sometimes it works in your favor. I mentioned it yesterday in the zone. You know, when you're facing a team that's raising a banner, getting rings, new stadium, there's so much outside noise going on that sometimes players lose a little bit of focus. We'll don't know if that'll be the case. It wasn't the case with the purple. We'll see if it's the case with Atlanta. But just that intangible of what happened in the title game, I think, gives the Packers a bit of an edge if you're looking for intangibles. We heard from Clay. We'll hear from Mike Daniels today. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. We'll also have a special guest at the bottom of the hour, Packer writer Bob McGinn, who retired back in the spring but then surprised us all about a month ago with a brand new website, Bob McGinn Football. He's going to join us, talk about his new venture and what he thinks of this year's Packer team. After picking them to reach the Super Bowl the last 2 years, he went the other way and said, all right, I've been wrong twice before. I'll pick him to miss the playoffs this year. We'll ask him why he thinks that and chat with Bob McGinn before we are done. I gave my son Jackson a pass today. He had homecoming last night, his first homecoming dance, so he's sleeping in. So no prediction from Jackson, but lots to get to. You guys are up and ready. Phone lines are full. We'll get to all your calls next as we break down Packers-Falcons. This is Packer Preview on The Fan.
Touchdown passes.
As defenses choke.
Channel 2 News at a blowout at Lambeau.
Always look.
Hi, this is Carl Grabschmidt, and you are listening to Packer Preview on the home no, I don't want to say that. You're listening to Packer Preview on KFAN with Dave Sinekin.
All right, come on.
Let me hear it for the pack, y'all. Yo, because the pack ain't whack, y'all. Let me hear you say... And green, remember that, just in case we have face-to-face mass contact. And the man on deep, that's Red G, one of the guys, quarterbacks, hope they don't see.
All right, we're back. This is week two, Packer Preview on The Fan. Well, the guy that opposing offenses don't want to see these days is Mike Daniels. Man, he has walked the walk, and now he's really talking the talk. He is the leader of the Packers defense. He was a stud last week. We saw him earlier this week in practice wearing some kind of a club on his hand. All the reporting I think we all saw was that it was mostly preventive. We don't expect to see him wearing that tonight. Certainly hope we don't. You know what? The next 2 weeks, home games against the Bengals and Bears. Not saying those are gimmies, but things get a little easier. So he can rest a bit the next 2 weeks. We need a fully engaged and healthy Mike Daniels to deal with maybe the most explosive offense in all of football. Again, with the new coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, they're not quite on their game yet. It might take them just a little while. That might work to our benefit. But with the reigning MVP, all the receiving weapons, and that two-headed running attack that can beat you both on the ground and as receivers, Daniels and company will have their handful with that backfield, as Daniels talked about earlier this week.
They're good backs. Second week in a row, we're going to see a good stable of backs. And we just have to make sure we're all gap sound and where we need to be in. You know, get there with a bad attitude. You know, put some hits on these guys, get them on the ground, and, we'll like our results.
Well, again, if he can play like he did last Sunday, and Kenny Clark next to him also, I thought, took a huge step forward. Well, that's where this Packer defense starts, is up front in Dom Capers 3-4. And we certainly saw what we've heard about all offseason, the implementation of that nitro package. I expect that package to be used the vast majority of tonight with Morgan Burnett moving up to that middle linebacker spot to show much more speed in going covering the middle of the field and those running backs. And Kentrell Bryce stepping in on the back end, a big hitter who's also got even better speed than Burnett. And just really changes the feel of this defense. And it certainly showed in week one. Again, can't read too much into week one in the NFL. You don't really know what you got for a few weeks. This is a terrific test for the Packers defense to know whether it was fool's gold last week or if they can go into a tough environment on a fast track against this offense. And you're not going to stop them, but if they can certainly slow them down compared to last year's NFC title game, the Packers will be in much better shape. Before we get to the phone calls, I'll let you know we have our first Packer viewing party next Sunday, 3:25 kickoff. Packers-Bengals, the 0-2 Bengals, have 10 days to get ready. They fired their offensive coordinator. They have yet to score a touchdown offensively, so they have gotten up to a very slow start. It won't get any easier for them. They're going to be at Lambeau. Let's have some fun taking down the Bengals next Sunday at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park, our home for all these years. Our sponsor, we thank Phil Weber and the gang for stepping up again to be our sponsor, and they're happy to have us next Sunday afternoon. So get to the 11th frame. I think you know where to go. Walk through the restaurant, through the bowling alley, to the 11th frame and back. That is our room. That is our house. That is Lambeau West. We'll have giveaways, all kinds of food and drink specials. It's always a blast, and it's always fun to meet many of you. So if you can make it next Sunday, I think the game's on local TV, but that's no fun. Come to the Park Tavern, have some great food, some great drinks, and we'll all cheer and have a lot of fun as hopefully the Packers can take care of business at home. All right. Phone lines full. Appreciate that. When they do open, if you care to join, 651-989-5326. Toll free, 800-320-5326. Or let your fingers do the talking. Bradshaw and Brian inbox, booth at KFAN.com. Let's begin, as usual, with our good friend Dave in Shakopee. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm still riding a high from the game last Sunday. What a performance. At halftime, I was a little concerned. You know, there was some issues going on, but they made those adjustments, and we saw the win saw them play well in the second half. But the one thing, get your comments on a couple of things. One, with the running game being so slow in the first half, I would like to see McCarthy or the Packers use more Montgomery coming out of the backfield, the screen passes, since you're doing that swing pass.
Yep.
On the defense, are we going to see a lot of the one-on-ones? Because last week we saw that, and both teams did that. And that opened the field up more for the quarterback to run. I don't know if that's going to be an issue this week or not. And then my last comment is I loved the play that Bennett did on covering Rodgers' back. Even though he got a personal fallout and fine this week, I thought that sent a message to his teammates saying, hey, Aaron, we got your back.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Great to talk to you. We'll see you next Sunday at the Park Tavern. Yeah, I was pretty upset with Bennett at the time. Just hate those penalties sometimes. But, yeah, maybe in the big picture, it's a good thing. I know that Rodgers and Bennett have really bonded, and Rodgers loves what Bennett brings to this locker room. So, yeah, I guess, you know, macro, it's probably a good thing. Micro, it really bugs you sometimes when you're set back 15 yards for something that happens between the ears. As far as the running game, I was surprised as you guys probably. The Packers started the game with 7 straight passing plays, and it did open things up a little bit, and they certainly committed more to the run in the second half. I was screaming for screen passes early because of that pressure, knowing that you have a new tackle in there. There were so many plays that were going downfield and Rodgers trying to buy time, and it just felt like, man, just get the ball out of your hands, get it to Montgomery in space, and let's see what he can do. We will see plenty of screen passes tonight. There is no question that the weakness of the Falcons' defense is covering running backs in space. They were the worst team in the league last year in giving up receiving yards to running backs. It was manifested in the Super Bowl when James White became a household name. He caught a million balls for a million yards. So there will be a lot of opportunities for Montgomery as a receiver tonight out of the backfield. And let's face it, if you're going to beat Atlanta, you're going to have to run the football. This is a team that's trying to mold its defense after the Seahawks. Dan Quinn, the head coach, was the coordinator in Seattle up there. He's trying to kind of build a Seattle light, and they relied on 3 rookies last year as they were remaking that defense and trying to get faster, and they certainly did, and they were much better. But they're kind of undersized. They can be overwhelmed physically, and I think Green Bay does have to commit to the run tonight. I wrote on my blog at theheadcheese.com, I want Montgomery to get 25 touches tonight. That's the recipe for a upset victory in Atlanta, is Montgomery to have the ball, the running game to work, keep Matty Ice and that offense on the sideline, and mix it up. And I do think you'll see, we've seen a lot of running backs kind of splash in big games already in the first week. This might be Montgomery's turn to sort of take center stage. It's all about Rodgers and Ryan tonight. And certainly the Falcons have the more decorated backfield with Freeman and Coleman. But I think Montgomery is a huge key tonight if the Packers are to get the victory. Next up, old Southside guy. Good morning.
Davey, good morning. Hey, great to hear that we're going to be at the Park Tavern next week. Look forward to that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, when I saw the Packers schedule come out this year, the game that I thought was going to be the most difficult is this Atlanta game. I think this Atlanta is superior to Seattle because their offensive line is a lot better than Seattle's. And Matt Ryan has always had great games against us. And if you look back to the last few times we've played Atlanta, what they have really torched is our linebackers. I mean, Jake Ryan and Thomas on those crossing patterns from Coleman and Freeman have gotten just burned in the past. And I look for that again today, but that's why they might have to use this so-called nitro package more. And, you know, asking Devon House to put a to keep in check Julio Jones is asking a lot, and Julio's always had great games against us. That's why I wish somebody like a bigger King would be ready to play him, but King obviously isn't ready yet. So what I look for tonight, Davey, is the offense is going to have to get at least four touchdowns. The defense is going to have to get a touchdown. We're going to have to score over 35 to win this game because defensively I think we're asking a little bit too much.
All right, thanks, Southside. I appreciate those concerns for sure. We'll see you next Sunday at the Park Tavern. Don't totally agree. I don't, you know, if you see across the league, I feel like the offenses are certainly behind the defenses. You know why. I mean, there's less and less practice, and, you know, certainly last week after 2 weeks off, and most teams didn't play week four of the preseason, it's taken the offense a while to go, and I do think things will be more in sync for both teams. I think both teams struggled a bit offensively last week. I don't see it being a 35-31 kind of game, though. I think both defenses are too good for that, and at this point in the year, I don't expect a game like we saw last year where 65 points were scored, especially if the running game is working for both teams. You know, obviously that chews the clock a little bit, but I do agree with Devon House. You know, it's a lot to ask here. You take Julio, and we'll get everything else covered. They'll give him some help back there, whether it's Clinton Dix or Bryce or Burnett. They'll give him some help on Julio Jones. For my money, pound for pound, he is the best wide receiver in football. He may not get all the stats. There's plenty of weapons in Atlanta where he doesn't get thrown the ball 15 times a game. But, man, I mean, if you ask me what wide receiver do you want to start your team with, I'm taking Julio Jones. And he is a guy, as I said last week, only targeted 5 times. So he wants the ball thrown his way. They'll make an effort to do that this week, and the Packers know that. And you just can't overcompensate on Julio because, you know, that speedster Taylor Gabriel, who torched us last year a little bit, back from a lower leg injury. He's itching to show in the slot what he can do. Mohamed Sanu is a good red zone guy. Austin Hooper, their tight end, had an 88-yard touchdown last week, mostly because of the Bears screwing up. But still, he's a weapon too. So you can't just focus on number 11 and forget about everybody else. But it's a huge task to certainly not let Julio do what he did last year in the NFC title game. One more of this segment, our good friend 1265 Lombardi Guy. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I was pretty happy with special teams last week. When you have that first game of the season, your coverage units can sometimes have some struggles with lanes and wedges, and the walls. But I thought it was good. I thought they kept Lockett in check, and Josh Jones was a nice surprise. And if you can have a couple of guys like Jones and Janice on your coverage teams, containing the threat, it helps with field position.
I agree. I was really concerned about Tyler Lockett on an offense that doesn't have a ton of weapons and playmakers outside of Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin, maybe. I was worried about, you know, the first game with a lot of new faces on special teams. But you're right. They did a really nice job holding him down. And Justin Vogel gets a lot of credit, too, for getting a lot of hang time, moving things over to the sideline, so he didn't have a lot of room. So, after the first test, so far so good. It's going to be tricky again tonight, though.
Well, let's give the Seahawks some credit. Their special teams did just fine, too. Blair Walsh was 3 for 3, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And I can't believe that team would cut that guy. He looked amazing, didn't he?
He did. All right. Well, I know you're up against time, so I'll let you go. I'm fortunate enough to be at the Benz tonight, so it's going to be a good game. It's nice to have the Falcons early in the schedule. The coaching staff had plenty of time over the offseason to scout not only the NFC game from last year, the championship game, but also the Super Bowl against New England. So we should be ready. Should be a good one at the Benz.
Absolutely. Great to hear from you, 1265. We'll talk to you again next week. As we go to break, emailer Stacy asks, would you take the over or under on Rodgers throwing 50 times tonight? I certainly hope it's under. I've said it before. You got to run on this team. Now, if it gets to be a shootout, all bets are off. But I'd go the under. I have a feeling the running game struts its stuff against Atlanta a bit tonight. When we come back, the legendary Bob McGinn joins us to talk Packer football. This is Packer Preview on The Fan.
You're going to boogie down and paint the town. I'm talking about my Packers of Green Bay.
You're listening to Packer Preview on The Fan.
Tell all the people across the USA, I love my Green Bay Packers, who won the first Super Bowls ever played. I love my Green Bay Packers.
All right, we are back, 7:38 on a Sunday morning. It's the week 2 edition of Packer Preview on The Fan. As we get you ready for Packers-Falcons tonight, Sunday Night Football, a game you will hear on this very radio station, 100.3 FM The Fan, the Westwood One Call, 7:25 kickoff. So please tune in if you're driving around or not at home or wherever might be the case. We'll have the game tonight, full day of football, beginning with the Vikes and Steelers, of course, noon kickoff, 10 o'clock pregame. So when we all got word, three, four, 5 months ago that Bob McGinn was stepping down after 30-plus years of covering the Pack, we thought, well, That's bad for us. Great for him. He's earned it, but we're going to miss his coverage, which was like anybody else's. Well, funny, so much for the peace and quiet of a nice quiet retirement in Ann Arbor. Bob McGinn has resurfaced with his own website, Bob McGinn Football, which makes us all jump for joy. And I was the first to plunk down my subscription because I was excited to follow Bob as he loves to follow the green and gold. And he joins us this morning bright and early. Bob, thanks for being with us, and welcome back to covering Packer football.
Yeah, my pleasure. We've been going about 3 weeks, and 2 weeks really, Dave. So it's been fun so far.
What has been the biggest challenge? I know your son is dealing with the technical side, the business side, but for an old newspaper man that's used to typing on the Corona and pulling out the carbon and all that stuff, what's been the biggest challenge about this shift to the new technology?
Yeah, he's done everything, Dave. He's a 29-year-old hard charger. Man, yeah. I got to work hard to keep up with this kid. Mm-hmm. Working with flesh and blood has been 98% of the reason why I'm back, truly. The work with a family member, it's been unreal. The challenge is getting the word out that we're in existence.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, we think we have a really quality product, and Charlie's done a tremendous job with this site. It's easy to navigate and professionally done. But, the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Packer fans all over the place that will read, that are aware of mainstream media sources, just becoming aware of BobMcGinnFootball.com.
Yeah, it's a process. It's not going to happen instantly, but word will spread like wildfire. I'm just curious how your wife handled the news. I mean, she's thinking about, all right, we're back in Michigan, we're going to play some bridge, and we're going to go out for lunch, and now suddenly you're back at it. Your volume, I mean, you're cranking out stories at quite the pace. Is she on board with this? Did you have to head to the jewelry store and make nicey nice with her?
Well, usually all in the summer, she gets me out of the house because I'm a golfer. Now, I'm not any good, you know. If I break...
Oh, I know how that goes.
Break 85, it's time for a parade. But I hurt my shoulder like a moron lifting weights at a gym here in Green Bay in late May. I can't swing a club, and I was going stir crazy, Dave, and I had to do something, and so she's all on board with it, man.
That's awesome. Tell you what, it's great to see your words again. I'm sure for you, part of you just has to be thrilled because it's what you do. It's what you've always done. I mean, I'm not quite as old school as you, but I'm a journalism guy, and I was a writer when I started. And when it's in your blood, it's hard to kind of think it's – I mean, I just have to feel like part of you always felt like you were going to get back and do something. Maybe not this quickly, but I'm sure it surprised you that you're right back at it, and you got to be having a lot of fun right out of the gate, right?
That's true. I was thinking strongly about
bringing back the draft series. You know, I mean, I've put so much time and effort into that over 35 years on that draft series, and I love dealing with all the scouts and personnel people. And then just my son and I started talking, well, let's expand it a little bit, you know. You don't have to do training camp. That's pretty much garbage anyway, Dave, you know. Yep. That was the least favorite part of my job.
Yep.
Start September 1 when the real stuff. And then, yeah, I love to write. I love the act of writing, and so we did it, you know.
And no editors telling you what to do or giving you deadlines. You are your own boss. That's as good as it gets. And I know Peter King's a big fan, and, you know, once he gives you some props, lets the world know you're out there, that'll certainly move things along. So, you know, I read you religiously, always have. I noted with the eyebrows raised that after picking the Packers to reach the Super Bowl the last 2 years, you went the other way and kind of went against the grain, a team that's reached the playoffs 8 straight years with a healthy number 12. You decided to have them missing the playoffs this year. Tell me what went into that thinking and how strongly you believe that.
You know, what we knew when I wrote that thing 10 days ago, I didn't know that the defense would play play their butts off here against Seattle Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we know, Dave, perceptions of teams change by the week. Perceptions of players change by the week. There's only 16 of these things. You just don't know. So what I mean, would I have done that after seeing that defense? Probably not. I mean, it's tight. I see Detroit and Minnesota, teams that have chased Green Bay hard the last couple, 3 years, and I see a tremendous defense in Minnesota. Didn't know their offensive play that well. And the Lions, I see that, a pretty good club with a better offensive line, and I like Stafford a lot. So, I mean, it was real tight. They didn't assign any final records, but I had them all around 10-6, 9-7, those three teams. Had to make a call and just did it, you know. I mean, the law of averages at some point will run out on Green Bay. Doesn't look like it's going to happen this year after that victory over Seattle.
Well, yeah, you know what? We've seen you've been wrong the last couple of years in the big prediction. Let's just make it 3-3, and we'll all move on. let's talk about that defense. We were all impressed by what we saw. You're a guy that tends to look at things with more of a cynical eye, which I appreciate because my name almost sounds like cynical. So how much of a believer should we be in what we saw last week? Well, certainly have a much better sense after watching them in Atlanta tonight. But what did you see last Sunday from the defensive side of the ball that got you thinking, wow, this team might actually get to places they want to get to?
Well, playing across the line of scrimmage, the front seven, I mean, it was unreal. Just dominating, just in the backfield constantly. I don't know where all the hits were made on the running plays. The average would probably have been minus one. Now, you got to take it with a grain of salt because of that Seattle offensive line, obviously, Dave. I mean, they really only have one player, Justin Britt, the center, and they're just struggling, man. So, I don't know. They were all over Russell Wilson, and I respect the heck out of him. He's got some receivers. He's got a tight end. There was good coverage. The thing with Morgan Burnett, it worked this for 1 week, you know, certainly. They weren't hurt by the running game. Thomas Rawls didn't play. He's their best back. Lacy, I don't even know where he's at anymore, but we know Rawls is better than Lacy. He didn't play. But I really liked what I saw on defense, and, you know, they did it without Kevin King. He played 6 snaps, and the three corners looked pretty good.
Talking with Bob McGinn, a legendary Packer writer who now has his own website, bobmcginnfootball.com. I urge you. I mean, if you're up at 7 o'clock listening to me, you are right in that zone to be a Bob McGinn football subscriber, so please check him out. What do you expect to see tonight, Bob? I mean, you got all the pomp and circumstance of primetime football, new stadium. You got the Packers defense having heard for 8 months about how they got embarrassed in the NFC title game. Atlanta's got two new coordinators. It might take them a while to get in the groove. They didn't look real impressive in Chicago. What do you sense we're going to see? What kind of a game? A lot of people think it's going to be really high scoring. I do not subscribe to that. Because I think offenses aren't quite there yet, and I do like both of these defenses. But what do you think we'll see tonight in Atlanta?
Yeah, I would agree. I think I think you're on the right track, Dave. You know, 21-20, something like that, 2017. Atlanta is so fast on defense, and Green Bay's going to have to combat that. One way to do it will be to run the ball. I think both these teams, how much patience will they exercise with their running game? Green Bay has one back, Ty Montgomery, who's a multiple threat. Atlanta has two, Freeman and Coleman. Offensive lines, we don't know about Bulaga. I doubt he'll play. That could be a weakness. Atlanta has a weakness in Wes Schweitzer at right guard, replacing the retired Chris Chester. Akeem Hicks really got after him
yep.
in the opener, and I would think Daniels and Clark could get after Schweitzer as well. So I think it's a really tight game and more on a defensive struggle.
Yeah, I do too. I know NBC wants to see the fireworks with the two of the last three MVPs, but I'll be surprised if it goes that way. Yeah. Bob, I speak for everybody listening and everybody around the Twin Cities area. We are thrilled to have you back covering our favorite team. And I know retirement will be there at some point, but I hope this is a good long run for you. I hope you enjoy it. Hope you guys are successful, and we'd love to have you back sometime.
Anytime, Dave, and I thank you for having me on, okay?
You bet. Enjoy the game, rest that shoulder, and we'll talk soon.
Will do.
Bye-bye. Bob McGinn, you've read him for years at the Press Gazette and JS Online. He's now doing his own thing. BobMcGinnFootball.com. Check it out. You get all the great scouting reports each week, the grading after the games. Again, if you're up now listening to me, you will enjoy his site. That is for sure. All right. We're going to get to the big matchups here shortly, but a couple guys have been holding the entire show. We'll make Kane wait because, just because he's Kane, and we'll begin with our good friend, Dave, in Maple Grove. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, sir.
Hi.
Last week's game day, what was really near and dear to my heart is that we snapped the ball 82 times on offense. It speaks to our offensive, having some offensive productivity, despite the fact we weren't scoring anything in the first half. I really love the fact we snapped it 82 times.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that you control the ball 40 minutes on offense, and you hold the Seattle Seahawks to 20 minutes. Obviously, that you're going to win most games when you have a 2-1 time of possession. It also keeps your defense fresh, and they looked fresh, and they were able to keep up with that Seahawks offense. And when they did make plays, they tackled. We didn't see many missed tackles. So, I think all things look good on that side of the ball, and that's why I'm so excited to see how they followed up tonight with maybe as big a challenge as they'll face until we head to Pittsburgh for another Sunday night game in November.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Also, just on the defensive side, a couple of people that I don't know that they got as much attention as they deserve. Martinez was really flying around. I don't know that he's on the field for that many plays, but when he was out there, he was all over the place.
Yeah, he was. He was noticeable. I'll be interested to see how many snaps those inside linebackers get tonight against this team on this turf. It's, the one thing Ryan and Martinez aren't great at is they don't have a ton of speed. And on a fast track, they might be exposed a little bit. We'll see more Martinez than we will Ryan. I think we'll see more Ryan the next 2 weeks against Cincinnati and Chicago, a couple teams that would like to run a little bit more. I thought Martinez was noticeable for sure. He had a very good game last Sunday.
Yeah, I really thought so, too. Well, let's go ahead and win this game. I'm going to go with Dave from Shakopee. I think it's going to be a fairly high-scoring game. Let's go 35-31. We're going to take it.
All right, sounds good. I'll take it. I've said it. I don't think it's going to be quite that high scoring. If it was a game 3, 4, 5 weeks from now, maybe. But I don't think it's going to get up that high this time. All right, for our comic relief segment of Packer Preview, we welcome Kane in Apple Valley. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, THC, while I do subscribe to the theory that you did take one too many chair shots to the head from Bobby Knight while in Indiana, I have never for one second thought you were a bad guy. In fact, I'm sure you use your right indicator on your car like the most upstanding citizens of this country.
I do. Yeah.
You said something the other day on In the Zone, a.k.a. Packer Preview 2.0, that left me a little bit perplexed. You said you went to the game and saw everything you wanted to see. So to recap, you wanted to see your starting quarterback throw an interception and what should have been a pick six. You wanted to see your feature back average 2.8 yards per carry. You wanted to see your defense give up 5 yards per carry on the ground. Glad to know you wanted to see all those things. Lastly, have you and your IU alum ever considered a class action suit for traumatic brain injury incurred from said night chair shots? I'll hang up and listen.
I love what I saw last Sunday. You want to go micro and look at every single play? Yeah, there's things that you don't expect Rodgers to throw a pick that probably should have been a pick six. Of course not. But grand scheme of things, you held a Super Bowl contender out of the end zone. You didn't let Russell Wilson kill you with his legs. You didn't let Doug Baldwin run wild and run free. You answered a lot of questions defensively that people around the league had about you. The offense was slow to go. Game one, hadn't played in a couple weeks. I loved everything I saw last Sunday. I saw a win, over the Seattle Seahawks and kept them out of the end zone for 60 minutes. That's tough to do in the NFL. I loved what I saw, and I hope I see a lot more tonight. We know it'll be a crazy atmosphere. NFL, NFC champs christening their new stadium. Aaron Rodgers sure knows what they're in for tonight.
It's going to be electric. Sunday Night Football, new stadium. I think they've played at least one college game there so far. But no, it's going to be great. It's too bad Chick-fil-A is not open, but it's going to be exciting.
I love the Chick-fil-A shot. They have a huge concession stand at the new stadium, and they're not open on Sunday, so that concession stand will be dark, I think, for all but one game. I think they have a Monday night game, so they can go crazy that one game. I don't really understand. I know you're out of Atlanta, and you want to have a presence there, but what's the point? All right, Packer fans, let's talk about what we expect to see tonight. Again, the big storyline, how are the tackles? How are Bakhtiari and Bulaga? Can they play? My hunch is Bakhtiari starts, and hopefully that hamstring will be sufficiently healed where he can finish. If Bakhtiari doesn't play, Packers have no shot tonight. In fact, you've got to change your game plan completely around to try to protect Rodgers from a really tough pass rush. Vic Beasley and Brooks Reed are two guys that get after the quarterback. Stars on the rise for sure. I think Beasley's already there, and Reed is under kind of understated. He deserves to be there. So the tackles will be up for a big challenge. I don't think Bulaga will play. Again, really don't have a true sense. They're very close to the vest on that. I thought Kyle Murphy, though, did enough to show that he belongs out there. We don't want to see anything about Adam Pankey tonight, not against this team. So let's watch and see if Bakhtiari's out there, how healthy he looks, how much maybe protection changes. Do you have to keep a fullback in a lot of plays to sort of chip away at guys that get past the offensive line to give Rodgers another second? It's going to be a great one. A tweet asked, do I think Martellus Bennett will be more involved in the offense? Yes, you can beat Atlanta in the middle of the field. I think Bennett's big tonight. I think Davante Adams has a big night. I got to give it to Atlanta 23-21. I think they make one too many plays, but I give the Pack a chance. Enjoy it tonight. Until next Sunday, go Pack.